Good morning, TNC family. On this second Sunday in January 2026, where today here, if you're listening to this, you've made it through 2025 and therefore 2024, 2023, 2020, probably 2010, and many of you have journeyed through parts of the last century on your way here. And here's the fascinating thing about your journey and mine, your story and mine. No matter when it began, it turns out our stories are not that different. Or as renowned author Willa Cather observed, there are only two or three human stories. And they go on, repeating themselves as fiercely as if they had never happened before. Because all stories involve, at some level, trusting others for our needs, being taught how to live by those older than us, wrestling with hormones and coming of age, traveling down unknown paths, facing fears, dangers, loneliness, loss, longing for love, friendships, purpose, and meaning, watching things grow and die. The names and the places might be different, she says, but the journey is similar. And it's pretty much true for every character in the Bible as well. I think about Abraham and Sarah, who leave home and set out on a journey to an unknown place and result. Or Joseph, who learns early in his life about pride and prejudice, about the dangers and opportunities of life's pits, prisons, and palaces. Or hundreds of years later, Moses, who journeys away from Egypt, back home, but through a wilderness, where the people of God know the strange and sad but hopeful journey of exile. On and on, all the way to Mary and Joseph, who have their own similar journeys, ending up one night in Bethlehem, where Jesus launches his human journey, which included, Hebrews 4 tells us, being tempted in every way as we are. Because there are only two or three human stories, and they go on repeating themselves as fiercely as if they had never happened before, which is why when Jesus came, his central message was how to walk along this journey with God so that we might step into a life of deep goodness and purpose and joy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, Jesus said, John chapter 10. Meaning, TNC, that if you're just treading water on your journey, hoping that your right doctrine will get you to the right eternity, then you're likely uninterested in accepting Jesus' primary offer, which was and remains to learn from him how to live the abundant life, to enroll in Jesus' school of life, if you will. Or as the late great USC professor Dallas Willard put it, the New Testament is a book about disciples, by disciples, and for disciples. Which led me to think, as we begin this 2026 leg of our journey, about some of the most foundational teachings of Jesus and the scriptures in general for living well, for journeying well, and to three categories of life that we often think about at the turn of a new year. Category number one, the past. Category number two, the future. Category number three, the present. Because the Bible has a lot to say about each, and today what I want to do is simply share with you one sentence of wisdom from the scriptures about each, one sentence about your past, one sentence about the future, and finally, one sentence that describes what I believe Jesus might tell us about the present, this year, 2026. So, first, the past. And here's the sentence, honor it. Honor it. Or in the words of the writer of Deuteronomy chapter 32, remember the days of old, consider the years of all generations, ask your father and he will inform you, your elders and they will tell you. Or in the words of the psalmist chapter 78, oh my people, open your ears to what I'm saying. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. Or Isaiah chapter 46, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. Or if you read Hebrews chapters really 10 through 13, they treat the past not as a museum, but as a source of courage, faith, and imitation for our lives now. School of Life, Session 1, the past, honor it. And partly that means to learn about it and be grateful for it. Or as David McCullough, the two-time Pulitzer Prize winning historian, writes, "Indifference to history isn't just ignorant, it's rude. It's a form of ingratitude." He goes on, quote, "The lessons of history are largely lessons in appreciation. All we have, institutions, hospitals, universities, libraries, cities, laws, music, art, poetry, freedoms, all exist because somebody went before us and did the hard work, provided the creative energy, money, and belief." TNC, we're here because of those who've gone before. Those that have worked tirelessly, traveled endlessly, made sacrifices of the ultimate kind, taken risk of enormous bravery to carve out so much of the great life we enjoy. Which means this year, we've got to read some history. Like, carefully pick 3 or 4 peer-reviewed books, and in addition, set aside time to talk to folks older than you or with different experiences than you. And then be grateful. Because I gotta tell you, if you wanna ruin your life, never be grateful for anything in the past, ever. Just highlight everything that's wrong that's ever happened to you or in our history. And then complain about how things are just not right. Things are not fair. If you wanna ruin your life, never be grateful. Or you could follow the advice of G.K. Chesterton, who wrote towards the end of his life, "Gratitude, if not the doctrine I have always taught, is the doctrine I have always wished to teach as the chief idea of my life." Or in the words of Anne Lamott, "There are only 3 prayers you need to pray: help, wow, and thanks. And you gotta have all 3, she says. Or in the words of Barack Obama from a Selma bridge on the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, "We honor those who walked so we could run, and we must run so our children soar." He's talking about this continuity, past with present, and honoring it, paying attention to it, learning from it so that we can build up what needs building up and break through what needs broken through. In words I first heard from my friend Jeff, "Foolish people repeat mistakes. Smart people learn from their mistakes. But wise people learn from others' mistakes." And that's what we want in 2026, to be wise and to allow the past to reinforce what's good and right, but also teach us what mistakes we don't want to repeat in 2026. So lesson number 1, the past, be grateful for it. Lean into its successes. Learn from its mistakes. Honor it. And now on to the future. And here's the sentence. Be confident about it. And here I think first of the wisdom of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Or in the words of Jesus, John chapter 14, let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. It's this promise, TNC, of not just the present with God, but of a future with God, of an ultimate new heaven and a new earth. Or as the Apostle Paul put it again in Philippians, this time chapter 1, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He says, "I love my life, I'm not anxious to leave the earth, but when that day comes, I'm going to be confident, so I'm not going to live in fear." And TNC, that day will come for all of us, and I think especially in our era, we can be confident of the future, largely because actually of science, called by Thomas Aquinas God's first volume. Scripture, he says, is God's second volume. And science, like never before, is pointing toward the existence of a God, a universal Christ, as Richard Rohr has written about. Or just pause as I read these names and write them down. Take notes. Check out what these people are saying. John Lennox, Stephen Meyer, Francis Collins, Philip Goff, Ross Douthat, Jennifer Wiseman, Molly Worthen, Sharon Dirks, and a host of others Listen to what they're saying, read what they're writing in light of recent cosmology, quantum physics, James Webb, and so on, because we have more reason to believe in a life after death than ever. Life after death feels like more of a possibility than ever before. Added, of course, to the scriptures and to Jesus, the one we follow, who said, John chapter 8, that the one who trusts in him will never taste death. That there's this flow, this continuity of your life, that the person who you have become, your consciousness, you might say, it's going to go right on all the way until one day you will get a new transformed body in a new heaven and earth. And therefore, School of Life, Session 2, the future, be confident. School of Life, the past, honor it. School of Life, the future, be confident about it. Which leads us to the present. And here's the sentence from the scriptures. Don't worry. Don't worry. And of course, that was the main teaching of Jesus about the present, who famously taught Matthew chapter 6. Who by worrying can add a single day to your life? I tell you, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you? Don't worry, Jesus says, because it won't add a single day to your life. Further, TNC, I think here's another reason to not worry, at least in my opinion. The problems that you're worried about are, and I'm not sure who said this first, but it's really wise, the problems that you are tempted to worry about are a feature of life, not a bug. There's never going to come a time where you don't have problems. You're never going to wake up one day and find, hey, I have no problems, because problems are going nowhere. That's part of life. And so I think a better way to think about them might be to view them as gifts, pushing you a little beyond what you're comfortable with, which I know it can be painful, but also remember that growth happens only in response to a little bit of overextending yourself, the right amount of problems, so that you're challenged. And let me say again, most of the periods of important change that you've ever had in your life have only occurred because of challenges you faced. Which is why James, the brother of Jesus, says in his letter, consider it all joy when you face problems of various kinds, because problems are what produce perseverance, which leads to growth and maturity. So, don't worry. And here's a singular activity you might want to do instead of worrying. Take a walk. That's the wisdom. Don't worry, take a walk. Because I really believe there's something transformational about long walks. Historically, folks who take long walks find a lot of peace and perspective. We've talked before about how the Apostle Paul sends his friends to Troas by boat so he can walk there by himself. And of course, Jesus sends his disciples all the time places on their own so he can walk. Hey, go across the sea on the boat. I'm going to walk. Or read about Henry David Thoreau, Soren Kierkegaard, Friedrich Nietzsche, Charles Dickens, Virginia Woolf, who treated daily walking as a form of thinking. Slowness, presence, sacred attention. Or again, Anne Lamott, 80% of everything that is true and beautiful can be experienced on any 10-minute walk if you know what to look for. Now, I'm not saying that taking a walk is going to solve your problems, but I am saying that there's very few problems that will get worse by taking a walk. And I know for me, on my long walks, I have moments of clarity or time to pray, or I'm able to put my problems into one of two files, following the wisdom of David Gergen, who I've mentioned several times over the last couple years. Gergen was the former Navy officer, a White House advisor to four presidents of both parties, Nixon, Ford, Reagan, Clinton. And in his book, Hearts Touched by Fire, he describes two files in his mind, one for those things that are up to him and within his power, and one file for those that are not up to him and thus beyond his power. And he says that if you pay lots of attention to events beyond your power, you're going to ultimately have a life of fear and guilt. But if you pay attention to what you do have control over, you're going to find a sliver of light and hope, which is actually something that the ancient Stoics wrote about. Epictetus actually said that the first job in life is to separate things into two categories. Is this up to me or is this not up to me? Because TNC, if you're focusing your time and energy, let's just say even half of it, on stuff that's not up to you, that's half your life wasted on stuff you can't do anything about. And so on that walk, you can make these decisions. Is this up to me or not up to me? Or do I need to refine my attitude, call a friend, make a plan, chart a new course of action? All of these things within your control that are important seeds for future growth. That's right, decisions are seed, attitudes are seed, prayers are seed, thoughts are seed, walks are seed, and all seed will come to harvest. So don't worry, take a walk. School of Life, Session 1, the past, honor it. School of Life, Session 2, the future, be confident about it. School of Life, Session 3, the present, don't worry. Because Jesus is talking in John chapter 10, and he says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. So let's be disciples this year. Let's enter the school of life that Jesus taught us about. Let's honor the past, be confident in the future, and don't worry about the present. Rather, let's trust the one we follow and lean into the promise of Isaiah 40. Those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and never be faint. And now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face towards you this 2026 and give you peace. Amen.